Blog Talk Radio.
UltimateSportsTalk.com. It's the divisional round edition of the Blitz, so I hope everybody's ready because there's obviously intangibles with every playoff format, and especially when it's the division round, a lot more at stake. And today we have a lot to talk about. A lot of the games ended in some questionable fashion, and other games were completely no surprise there. And then we also have the Saturday edition, where one was really close and the other one wasn't as close as we thought. And, you know, you got to give it to the Carolina Panthers. They kept up with Seattle. Just unfortunately, the Seahawks, the better team in the end. So surprises and some cool plays that we got to chat about. But today I'm joined myself, Oscar Lopez, your host today, along with my co-hosts, Eric and Lynn Anderson and Kishi Free and Eric Brown. So we have a great show today. We have an amazing guest today. All-world QB and two-time Team USA gold medalist, Miss Sammy Grisafi, former Chicago Forest WFA national champion. So she will be in the huddle in a couple minutes here, and she's going to tell us about what she's been doing off the field and what she's got coming up in the music career that she's set up for herself now with some talented people surrounding her. And we will chat with the lovely Miss Sammy Grisafi and talk about football and a little bit about what's going to go forward here and what we need to expect and keep tabs on with her going forward on social media as well. So, guys, I'm not going to be the bad person here, but I will say congratulations, Erica, and I feel your pain, and Kishi, because as me and Eric would say, our season had ended a long time ago, and unfortunately today was your day. So I know how it feels.
I know. We tried to finish the fight, but that's okay. I am proud of my boys, and I'm going to walk around with my head held high, especially being here in D.C., because you know I'm going to get it tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know what? I was telling Erica off the air, at least we didn't have a Romo moment to blame it on. You know what I mean? So hats off to Tony Romo for not creating a Romo moment.
No, he really didn't create a quote-unquote Romo moment. The two sacks were not cute. However, you know, at the same time, we have to, even with the sacks, acknowledge that somewhere the front protection must have caved and broken down somewhere for that to happen.
Yeah, and we'll go into detail as soon as we get off the interview with obviously with Sammy. And we'll go into detail with each game from Saturday, and we'll go into detail with each game on Sunday. So I'm going to afford you guys the opportunity, Erica Lynn, to take her Patriots game with the Ravens and kind of dissect that herself. And then, unfortunately, we'll have to relive your little pain here in the last couple hours with your Green Bay and Dallas assessment. Right. And then we'll have Eric tackle one of the games, and then I'll tackle the other game in terms of, you know, perspective. So we'll have a little good time here. But, you know, our guest today, if you guys did not get a chance to watch some of her amazing videos, I know I got to watch Carousel and Drunken Dial on the Sammy Grisafi website, and I posted up the link on our Facebook page, so you can go there, kind of take care of that. You can also get her music on any available app, including the Amazon store. So Sammy's been doing amazing things. You know, we've been interacting for a couple years now, almost 2 years. since I started following the women's game, and she's an amazing woman. On top of that, an amazing athlete as well, and a great leader all the way around. So, you know, she's got two gold medals to prove it. So at this point, we are going to go into the huddle. So let's go into the huddle. It's the No Joke Football Shop presents the No Joke Football Huddle. So you can go to the Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties website, and you can order your project apparel, like leggings, hoodies, and cool tees available. You can get geared up for the spring and for the summer, and you can support our No Joke Football Project as we gear up for women's spring football in Canada as well as in the U.S. scene. In the U.S., we have the WFA, the IWFL, the WFFL, and then the various non-kit leagues, which is the MyLFL, the SSFL, and all the other leagues that are non-full kit. And in Canada, we have obviously the Western Women's Canadian Football League, and I'm happy to announce we are working with Candace Ward in Calgary, Canada, who is going to showcase a couple players in the Calgary area for the WWCFL, and will be co-branded with our brand, which is a No Joke Football brand, and should have that out probably in springtime at this point. That's our goal, but nothing's been finalized at this point. We're all in just the talking stages, but we're looking forward to working with her as well. She's an amazing photographer, and we're happy to be able to collaborate with her as well. So, you know, in the Maritime, we're going to try to hook up a couple players there with some gear as well, and we've been talking to them. And then we also have the new league, the Central Canadian Women's Football League, that's going to launch this spring. So exciting news is in Canada, three new leagues, that's a total of about 16 teams all the way across the nation. So women's football is well and alive in Canada. So we want to thank our over 12,000 fanatics and followers combined on our social media sites for making us the number one trusted source on social media for covering women's gridiron football. And we can't forget our network. We want to, you know, give a shout out to obviously WFB Talk, Miss Gridiron, and as well as GI Quindom, Adrian Smith's site as well, for keeping tabs on all that's going on in the women's gridiron game internationally as well as here in North America. So we are coming, Canada. Canada, get ready, because No Joke Football is on its way. 2015 is our committed year, and we will be there between now and December. So we are currently, like I said, working with Candace Ward, and we hope to have a WWCFL shoot with a couple stars there, so stay tuned for that. And the reminder that every sale of every gear brand from No Joke Football goes to help another player get recognized internationally and as well as on social media through our photo shoots and our collaborations with social media platforms and the, you know, grateful photographers that are donating their time as well. So check out Sam Gordon's blooper video. Thank you to her. And in the blooper video, she has featured our No Joke Football gear, Yes, I'm a Girl, I Play Football t-shirt. So if you haven't checked out Sam's blooper video, go to her YouTube site, Sam Gordon, and make sure you subscribe while you're there. So this month we are working with another shoot with the talented Liza Thomas of TL Photography out in Gridiron, Australia, Queensland. And we should be able to get that out probably early March. We're looking at February as our goal, but probably early March. And I have a couple more players from the Queensland League that will be sporting our No Joke Football brand to bring more awareness to our project. So if you want to get all the good stuff, go to Zazzle.com, Gridiron Beauties, and get your gear and help us out with the awareness program. And as well as, just to let you know, that the girls do play, of course, No Joke Football. So let's go into the huddle. And it's sponsored by Zazzle, of course. And let's go with the beautiful and talented Miss Sammy Grisafi, two-time gold medalist and national champion. So, Sammy, are you on?
I am. Hello.
Sammy Grisafi, you are on with me, Oscar Lopez, Erica Lynn Anderson, a big Patriots fan, Eric Brown, a Bears fan, and we got Nkechi Free, who's a Cowboy fan, and unfortunately not having a great day this afternoon, but she's a big-time player, and she's here. And you are a 49er fan, as far as I can remember. So,
I am.
Have a nice NFL weekend.
I'm sorry?
It was kind of a nice NFL weekend.
Yeah, it was a big weekend. Some people are around still, and some people are gone.
Exactly. So one and done. Yeah, you know about that. You guys have been in the playoffs almost every year since you've anchored the Chicago Four. So you know a little bit about, you know, what the pressure with, you know, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have going through at this point. But, you know,
absolutely.
It's win and move on, and if not, you're going home.
Yeah, it's you know, and it's always a privilege to be in playoff football because it's to have that pressure. It's nice to have the privilege of that pressure because it's a bummer when my first season was the only season that we didn't go to playoffs. We played Detroit 3 times in the regular season, and so we lost to them 3 times, and they were a big at the time a dynasty. Detroit was, but. That was the only time that I had to feel what it was like to not make it to postseason, and I'm happy I only had to feel that once. So even making it that far, it's always a privilege.
So, and Keisha, you want to ask Ms. Sammy Grisafi anything at this point, football-related?
Well, just a couple of questions. In terms of, you know, the teams and being able to, you know, make it to the playoffs, I'm really curious, what is it like traveling, especially when you have to play, you know, all these different teams in different cities? And I'm asking because I know a friend of mine is the beat reporter for the Dallas Cowboys. So I know how nice those teams travel. What's travel like? And give us a little bit of that experience playing on the road as a female football player.
It's not the NFL by any means. I mean, we're not staying in fancy hotels. You know, I was just in Dallas for just for leisure, and we went to this hotel that's basically the Cowboys hotel, and it's like Vegas in there. I mean, it's amazing. But we don't. I was like, this must be nice to stay in places like this all over the country. So I mean, we are very much in an economic. We are very thrifty, and that's fine because you're there for it. We always say it's business trip, so it's not. We're not there to enjoy the luxury of, you know, whatever hotel we're staying in. It's just there for a purpose. That's to sleep and get our food in and to be functional. So,
the reason why I asked the question is because I want our listeners to understand the dedication that you ladies put into playing professional football.
Absolutely.
Why I asked, because you're right. I mean, in the end game, you're there to play a game. But the reality is that you ladies do so much. And I just wanted you to be able to give our listeners a chance to experience what it's like for you all and how much sacrifice and how much you put into dedication to playing.
Yeah, well, and we do. And there's a lot. And frankly, the Chicago Fours, I mean, being a part of that organization, we were very lucky because, you know, it's one of the best organizations out there. We have an amazing management team. I mean, if you're lucky enough to be on a team that has people who spend so much time, you know, as the management and the coaching staff, to have people that spend so much time making it a nice experience for the players, I mean, we were very lucky. I mean, and I would venture to guess that a lot of people that have played for teams like, you know, like Chicago, like, or Boston or New York or D.C. or San Diego, I mean, those teams are they're very generous, those people, with their time and their money. And so, frankly, we were very lucky. But the majority, I mean, it's still a lot of hard work, and everybody has to pull their weight on the field as well as off the field as well because – you know, you have to get your marketing out there. You have to let people know, bring awareness to the game. It's more than just showing up and playing a game on Saturdays. And in some ways, that's kind of a cool experience. You're a part of something in more ways than one, and there's a lot of pride that goes with that. And that was what was really cool about Team USA, to get to meet all of these different women from all over the nation that feel as strongly about playing football as you do. And it's really kind of like a sisterhood or, you know, our own, like, sorority or fraternity or whatever you want to call it. But it's a neat thing to be a part of. And in Europe when we were in Finland playing, to see internationally how that's being, that same spirit is happening in countries all over the world is really, it's a cool thing to be a part of. I mean, and listening to what you guys are talking about and all the work you're doing is a wonderful thing. And, I mean, you really, I mean, you have a lot on your plate. That's great. I mean, I think it's fantastic what you guys do. But, yeah, it's a lot of work. It's tedious, but we love it. So it's not a sacrifice. It's just part of the deal. I don't
awesome.
Think anybody would
Thank
trade
you.
Anything for that. You know, I don't think we'd trade it for anything.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Kishi, you got anything else?
No, I'm actually, well, the questions I do have actually are not football related, so I'm going to go ahead and hold some of those for a little bit later. But I definitely, you know, so if anyone else has any other football questions to ask, you know, I don't want them to be held back from chatting with
me. No, I'm just trying to give everybody an opportunity to ask her any questions. So, Eric, you got anything for Sammy on the women's side? I know you and Nkishi are kind of new to the, you know, the women's game, and she is as experienced as it gets and championship grilled as you want to be and internationally, you know, sound out there in terms of, you know, medalists as well. So Eric is he's played football as well, Sammy, so kind of a relate one football player to another.
Great.
Hey, Sammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I was just kind of curious. I know as far as the outdoor game, that has gotten pretty big, but also it seems like the indoor game as far as the lingerie football league specifically was starting to grow a pretty decent amount. So I was just wondering, do you or any of your teammates or any players from around the league have any feelings toward the lingerie football league as far as, you know, is there a kinship or is it more so animosity, or do you, you know, ever think about it at all?
You know,
did we lose her?
No, I think we did.
But
are you still there, Sammy?
No, call dropped.
Okay, no problem. She was on the road, so we'll pick her back up. She'll probably dial back right now. Eric, I can tell you right now, just from my perspective, is the players themselves don't have a problem with the players playing the football. I think they have a problem with the imaging difference between full kit and non-full kit, and I'm pretty sure when she comes back on, she'll probably tell you the same thing. It's not really, you know, against the players that play; it's more of the formality of the football. In other words, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And the
marketing is totally different because you are on one end, you're marketing traditional football, and which is a lot harder to do, especially if you're a female. And on the other end, it's more eye candy. So it's more, you know, you're drawing in it with that sex appeal. Once you get into the stadium, maybe you are drawn into the football aspect of it. But I think that's where the differences probably would be in opinion in terms of that. But has she come on in, Eric, at all?
No, she's not back yet.
Okay, well, just let us know when she's back. So we'll go from there.
Okay.
So we'll
sure.
We'll get her on there as soon as she gets back on. No problem there. But that's basically the difference on there, and she'll tell you when she comes back on. Pretty much the same. From my experience in covering the women's leagues, in a lot of ways, there are different approaches, but the mentality is the same. You know, they strongly believe in playing football, and whether you play football in a non-kit format or a regular kit format, it doesn't matter to these women. I mean, they're still devoted to do the time, you know, spend the time and do that. I mean, I don't know, you know, in different areas of the country, there might be issues. There's probably different areas like anywhere else. But overall, I think that there's no backlash, if you want to call it, for, you know, the girls playing in bikini wear versus playing in traditional wear.
Okay.
Yeah. She's still off?
Yeah, she's not back yet.
Okay, no problem. So I know she was on the road just like I was, so you get into a dead zone and then boom. Okay.
Hello?
Sammy,
hello?
Got you back.
There, Sammy?
Cool.
I feel, so this is hilarious. Can I just say real quick how hilarious it is that right after he asked that question, it got cut off, and I'm like, oh, no, I went on this huge diatribe about, like, the whole thing. And then I'm like, and then nobody was there, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope they don't think I just hung up on them. Like, that'd be awesome.
Well, you know, we'll have to say we thought Eric's question was very bold, and you just hung up on him.
Yes.
But that's
oh, man,
no. We're just kidding. We're just kidding.
No, not at all. So just to, I'll just say what I'll summarize the long thing I just said to myself. talk to you guys. So I have no beef with the lingerie league, the Legends League at all. And I was just saying that I think that those women are athletes. I think they're absolutely, you know, inspiring athletes. Nas, who is a big player for the or is a big player for Atlanta, she's their running back, I think. She came out to the tryouts for Team USA, and I got to meet her and see, you know, firsthand how talented and athletic those women are. I mean, they're fantastic. Unfortunately, Nas ended up having a work injury and wasn't able to go to Finland with us, which was a huge bummer because I really would have loved to have the opportunity to play with her. She's extremely talented. But, of course, there are people who dislike it. You know, it's not for me. I like to play 100-yard field. I like, you know, the traditional game of football. For me, it's not for me, but I, by no means do I have any beef with those women, nor do I think that they're any less athletic. And there are people who feel that way, and that's their opinion, and, you know, like everything in life, you're going to have haters, and, you know, that's the way it is. I think it's a different game. I don't think it's a version of football, but it's not the actual game of football. It's not 11-on-11. It's not, you know, all of those things. But same with, that's just like indoor football. So, but yeah, I guess that's my thing. I think that those women are extremely talented, very athletic, and I got to see firsthand with Nas. And like I said, I wish I would have had the opportunity to play on a full field with her because she was so talented and such a great person.
Eric, you got anything else?
Yeah, just one more quick question. I've seen some you know, video of you playing. It seems like you, as far as your mechanics, you know, the footwork is there, you know, the mechanics, your arm, everything. Have you worked with coaches in that respect, or is that more something that you were able to develop on your own?
Oh, no, I've been very lucky with the coaches I've had. I mean, Coach Konecki is a fantastic coach. Quarterbacks aren't really his specialty, but he has a friend who would come, one of his football coach buddies, would come and do a lot of work with me. So I was very lucky to have him come and really work on my my footwork and all the tiny things, because really that's where everything stems from, is the basic details. So I had that, but Konecki was great about sending me YouTube videos and giving me download capabilities for certain, like Darren Slack is a quarterback coach out of Texas. Fantastic quarterbacks coach, and I learned a lot from him and watched a lot of videos. And, you know, you're never done developing the details, I feel. It's like brushing your teeth. You have to do it every day so that you're, you know, progressing and maintaining progress. And that's a hard thing to do. It's a tedious thing to do, but I've been very lucky with the coaches I've had, and they've stayed on my case. And really, I mean, that I attribute a lot of my success to them. I mean, they're the ones that – I was just the vehicle for their knowledge.
Cool.
All right. So, Erica, you got anything for Ms. Grisafi?
I do. I was watching kind of film of you throwing the ball and kind of along Eric's lines, I really want to compliment you on your mechanics. They're phenomenal mechanics of throwing the ball and you know, the way you follow through, you know, when you throw. But, and I know you played quarterback in high school, right?
I did. In fact, I just got inducted in October. I just got inducted in my high school Hall of Fame, which was really cool.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. That's
awesome.
Thing.
Yeah, I read
really
that you
neat.
Were the
I'll tell you
first.
A story about that later.
Well, I read that you were the first female quarterback, kind of that was allowed to play in your area, and so I was curious, kind of what made you choose the quarterback position? Because you're obviously you excel at it. You're very good at it. Like Eric said, your mechanics, your footwork, everything is there. But out of all the positions, what made you choose quarterback?
Well, I was a pitcher in baseball, and I played 9 years of boys baseball, and baseball was really big in my hometown. It was, in fact, I was just talking to an old friend. I used to play baseball with his son. I want to say about 5 or 6 guys I used to play baseball with who are playing professionally now. One of them is a pitcher for the Orioles. And so I was doing baseball a lot, and I was a pitcher in baseball. I was utility. Like, I did a lot of things, but pitching was what I really loved to do. And so at 10, when I transferred over to football, or also I added football to my, you know, whatever, my repertoire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I figured that would be the natural thing to go out for. I had a strong arm. I knew that. I like to be in control. So that was part of it. But honestly, I didn't know very much about football when I went out. I just knew I loved it. I loved the discipline in it. I loved the fact that the camaraderie. I went to a camp, a technique camp in my hometown that the high school puts on every year. And after that, the rest is history. I mean, I wanted to be a part of it, and so quarterback was what I went out for. And at the time, I was the first girl in California, in the all of California, to play quarterback in a varsity Division I game. And that was, I was all because of the guys. I mean, they were an amazing group of people and really kept me alive, A, and B, they were just really inspiring people, so I was lucky.
Okay, so I do have another question. This is Kishi again, Sammy, and I wanted to jump on what you just said, if you guys don't mind really quickly. You just said something that I wanted. This is the question I wanted to wait. This is one of the questions I wanted to wait for. Being a female playing on, you know, on a male team, you just said something critical. You said the camaraderie and the support of the guys. And how often or how really critical is that in the grand scheme of things for females who want to play football on the high school level to get that type of support and, you know, and allowing them to really be a part of the team and not just someone who sits on the bench. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. It's everything. It is absolutely everything to have the support of your team. Because it's not fun, A. Like, the number one thing is, it's not fun to go and play football with a bunch of people that don't like you. And I will also say that it's not an easy task to win people over, especially, you know, when I did it however many years ago, when it was not a popular topic. I mean, the only women in football that had any awareness was that Helen Hunt movie in the 80s, that quarterback princess movie. So, like, there wasn't – YouTube didn't exist. Nobody knew if anybody else, any other girls were playing, and it just wasn't a popular thing. Like, you were not loved for playing football. It was not a thing that people looked at in a positive way. But – you know, and I've received letters from moms who have written me and said, you know, my daughter's getting a really difficult time on her boys' team or in high school, and you know, how did you deal with it? And honestly, how I dealt with it was I proved myself. I mean, that was what I had to do. And no complaining, no wanting special preferential treatment, none of that. I mean, if you're going to be on a football team, you have to do what football players do, not what men do or what girls do or whatever. It's a responsibility to the team to do everything that a team needs to do. And that was my secret, I guess. Hard work was my secret. And making sure that I was contributing everything I possibly could. And coaches say that and stuff, but it's hard to do. And that's the secret. You just can't bitch and moan, and you have to make sure that whatever you're doing, that's how you get respect. Respect is everything. And you don't get it by asking for it. You get it by proving yourself. And that really was the secret. And because of that, the guys, you know, they're really the reason that I ended up being able to stay, because the coaches gave me a hard time. It was a difficult time for me. But the boys voted me captain my freshman year. And
nice.
From that moment, you know, as much as I felt like I was getting cheated on certain things, as far as playtime went, they ended up being responsible for me dealing with it, because I thought, okay, even if I don't play, I still have a role on this team and a responsibility to be a leader because they've asked me to be. So I better live up to what they've asked me to do is pretty much what it was. I mean, there were several times where I went home angry and I felt like I was sweeping a dirt floor with coaching mm-hmm. staff, and then ended up, you know, starting half the season, we went undefeated. And so, yeah, the boys were everything. They were my family. They were my support system. They were everything for me. They were my boys.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Sammy, the big question will be, are we coming back or are we just concentrating on the music now?
I'm not coming back. And I love it. It's not, by no means is that a statement of animosity or anything like that. I quit after high school, or actually during high school. I decided that I was going to, you know, focus on other things to try to get a scholarship for college. And that was a difficult thing to do. And I remember it was after my sophomore season in high school. And I remember a few of the guys came up to me and said, you know, we need you. And I said, I would love to be playing still. But in my school, football was three sport. I mean, you were doing it morning, noon, and night all seasons. And it was a lot of commitment. And I loved that. But I knew that if I wanted to do anything else in my life, I had to start developing skills in other things. And that was difficult enough. And then now, you know, I feel like I have accomplished what I set out to accomplish with the sport, and it's given me more than I could have ever dreamed. And it's given me relationships that will be in my life for its entirety. And I'm very lucky to have had as much time as I have when I thought that it was going to end after six seasons. You know what I mean? But music's my other passion, and I told myself, you know, after I had graduated from a conservatory and got my acting degree, I said, I can always go back to music and acting. I can do that at an older age, but I can't play football at an older age. And so I'm 29, and I've been developing these skills and have this stream of music and performing in general, and it's time for me to give it 100% like I gave football. Otherwise, I will, you know, I wouldn't feel right about not giving it 100%. You know what I mean?
Right. And Kishi, Eric, and Erica, I will tell you, as a footnote, this young lady here played at Heinz Field, which is a huge accomplishment for the Women's Football Alliance. Fortunately, you didn't win the national championship, but the year after you did. But you played in Heinz Field, I believe it was against San Diego Surge. And
it was, yeah.
It was a huge moment in a historical sense. So you are part of a huge historical moment. So
right,
that
was the
awesome.
First time the ladies were ever playing on a professional football field, right?
It was the first time a championship had been played.
Oh, the
championship
had been played. Okay.
Yeah. So that was a special moment in general. It was a hard game to lose, but you know, I've said before that I'm grateful that I lost two national championships before winning one, because it taught me you just never know you never know when you're going to succeed. It teaches you perseverance and all of that. So,
well, and how many people can say they even got back to two national championships to even lose them? That's going to be in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to have that opportunity for sure. To even be able to come back and do whatever.
Sammy, since we're in that same line, your arch rivals, your Boston Militia, there was news this week that apparently Mr. Bach Jr. had disbanded the team because of, you know, lack of competition locally. And now we're hearing that the girls are going to band together and try to Band-Aid and put together the Militia back in a, you know, obviously in a management state. So that, you know, that was kind of shocking to hear this week, you know, because like we said before, you know, you got the four San Diego, you talk about DC Divas, Pittsburgh Passion as an example. So you got all these somewhat staple clubs that are, you know, gotten some good press, as well as, you know, they got good fan support as well. And now to hear that, you know, the last year's champions are not going to come back, that was kind of heartbreaking.
You know, it was heartbreaking to hear, because they are a flagship team. I mean, they are an important organization in women's football, and to hear that we might be losing them before the fact that they're banding together, I mean, it's a hard thing to hear. But what's cool about it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the women's team or women's game in general, is that, you know, we're not afraid of doing things ourselves. And that those women are great women. I know a lot of the gals on Boston. I think they're fantastic people. I think that they're remarkable women and remarkable athletes, and they're going to do just fine. I mean, those women can do anything. Like many of these women involved with football, I have no doubts that they will be successful in banding together and putting together a great organization on their own. So,
now,
get them,
Sammy. Tell us a little bit about your music journey so far. You were talking off air. You are collaborating with a lot of talented people around you. It's kind of similar to, you know, what you had on the football field. So tell us a little bit about, I think it's at the Atlantic, and then you also have some other key people that are helping you to launch your, you know, your, I believe your album that's coming out in Valentine's Day.
Yeah, well, the way we're doing, it's actually, it's my, mine and my friend, and manager, Kathy Curris. We have a record label called Vicious Muse. We're not signed to a major label. I don't think I ever would sign to a major label. I might do like major label distribution someday if that's something that it got to that point. But so we're releasing it, and we're releasing two songs at a time. So the name of the entire album is Brand New Fairy Tales, and the title track will be released on Valentine's Day with another song called Tiny Victories. I'm basically calling it like a digital 45. You know, when you used to buy 45s and you get two songs, you'd have the A side and the B side. That's
right.
How we're doing it, and we're calling them chapters. So chapter one will be released on Valentine's Day. Chapter two will be released, you know, a couple months after that, chapter three, and then the entire album will drop probably in fall of 2015. And So we're launching, not only are we launching these two albums and Brand New Fairy Tales official music video will be released on Valentine's Day as well, but we're also going to launch our Kickstarter, which will be really cool. And we're working on a children's book right now that has the Brand New Fairy, it's called Brand New Fairy Tale. I think that's our working title. And it's going to be a lot of, you know, it'll relate to the song. And I'm excited about that too, you know, because it's got a really strong message about if you don't see your fairy tale written anywhere, to motivate kids to write their own fairy tale.
Yep.
So, awesome. Yeah, so that's kind of what's going on in a nutshell, what we have coming up.
Well, I love the message.
Any of you guys, I got to see the videos in Kishi or Eric,
I did. I love your voice. And one of the things that I really liked what you said was that, you know, music is something that you feel. And it just, you know, sometimes you're in a hip-hop, you're in an R&B funky mood, and then sometimes you just need that acoustic guitar to bring it out of you. And I totally love the title about Different Fairy Tale because that was something to which I could relate as a female athlete, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
It was that, you know, I played... You know, and I'll just be honest, being an African-American, I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood school system. So even with that, you know, my fairy tales were totally different. So, you know, being and taking ice skating lessons and, you know, like black people don't ice skate. Well, I do, you know.
Well, I do.
And then, you know, so I totally... love the theme. I love the song. Your voice is so strong and clear and powerful, and I think if you bring that same passion and energy, you know, to your music, that you brought the same intensity that you played with which you played, you can't help but be a hit. And I really like, again, the positive message and the inspiration. Not just for young girls, but, you know, really, truly anybody who has a dream that wants to achieve. I mean, I know, like, people couldn't understand why after all these years of being an athlete, I, quote, unquote, switched to being a cheerleader. And I'm like, well, I didn't switch. I'm still an athlete. I'm just a different.
Exactly right.
I'm just doing a different sport.
Absolutely. Yeah, cheerleading. I mean, I've been to a few cheerleading competitions in my day to support friends of mine who – were cheerleaders, and I mean that. Talk about I mean that's something that you really, that's really impressive, and to be a, I mean anybody that does it that calls cheerleading anything but, you know, anybody that says that cheerleading is not a sport is ignorant, because that is by far, I mean, one of the most challenging athletic things to do. It's
Yeah.
It's hard.
Well, I mean, like I played soccer for years, track, basketball, I did ice skating, and I even played, you know, high school level sports, including cheerleading, and I promise, with all the other sports combined, I still had more injuries as a cheerleader, you know, in high school and college than I did literally through all of the other sports combined. And I started playing sports when I was in the second grade. But but again, you know, being in a predominantly white school, I think when I was in high school, there might have been 5 black cheerleaders. So, again, your message is so empowering about just finding your own fairy tale in your own space. And I love that you have continued really that theme throughout your own life, and I love it.
I got to say, I think that really warms my heart, and I thank you for saying that, because that's, I hope that's what people feel. I mean, for me, I think that music, and one of the reasons I have to do it, it's not even a wish. It's something that's been a part of my life for a long time. So, I mean, my family, both my parents are musicians, and I grew up watching them perform and do all that. So it's always been a part of my life. And so, which is great. But the other piece that's really important to me is that music has changed the world on several occasions. I mean, it was a huge part of the civil rights movement because it made mm-hmm. people feel something and it pushed them into action. And I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to do something bigger than just talking about, you know, getting messed up. And, like, that's fun to do, too, and that's part of life as well. But to be able to actually do something in the world that'll make it a better place, that'll leave our generation with a legacy that's better than just, you know, reality TV shows and, you know, who's wearing who on the red carpet. I think we can do better than that. And so it makes me feel really honored and happy that you enjoy the message, because that's what I want. I want people to enjoy the message. I want this to do more than just be playing in somebody's car. I want it to be a part of people's memories and maybe, if I'm lucky, inspire people to do great things, you know?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Sammy, let's talk about what's coming up. Sam Rappaport, bless her heart. We've been trying to get her on this almost for 8 months, but I'm hoping I'll get her on this next February, this coming February.
She's a hard lady to get a hold of.
I know. She's in the Obama administration as well. I mean, this is about as hard as you can get to the White House in USA football. But reality is she's set together the second World Games in Florida. And I know, you know, you were commenting that on Twitter as well and on Facebook and stuff. And it's a huge accomplishment for women's game now that you have somewhat of a representative and voice on the USA football scale of things, considering that it was mostly seniors and men's and related and that stuff. So now we actually have a women's program. It's, you know, small steps, of course, because these are kind of fundamental developmental types of events, which at this point, the last time I saw on Facebook, over 20 countries from, you know, 20 countries are going to be participating this year with at least two players or more, and they're joining in February in Florida. So that's going to be amazing.
That's going to be, you know, and I got to say real quick, I got to take a moment to say the women's game is so lucky to have Sam Rappaport. We're good friends. I would say that we're good friends, Sam Rappaport and I. And she is constantly working to improve and bring awareness to women's football. It's a passion of hers. I mean, talk about somebody who's doing something that's not about herself. It's about all of us. And she's a selfless person who has really done a ton for the women's game, and we are lucky to have her as our champion doing all of that. I mean, yes, a lot of it's in the fundamental stages, but, I mean, you have to start somewhere, and the agility and the speed and the rate at which the game is growing because of that woman, she is behind that. And, you know, women's football worldwide is in good hands with Sam Rappaport, and I think she's a fantastic person, and hopefully someday we'll be able to get a hold of her and have her on your show, because it'll be worth the wait. I'm telling you that.
Yeah, I know, and I'm looking forward to the chat on that. So it's going to be a great event again. Like I said, over 20 countries now coming from every continent, pretty much. So that shows you, like you were saying before, you know, you were on the World Championship Games. Now, you know, you take four teams off the world stage, and now you put 20 countries with at least two or four players. And the great thing about it is there's a lot of generous people in that area that are taking in a lot of the players, so they don't have to pay out of pocket for some hotels. They're actually taking them in like in a foster care mentality. So that's an amazing
thing
like for a lot of the people around there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, I mean, it goes back to not only our the women involved with women's football, you know, hard workers and passionate people who want to see this game excel, but it also, they're kind people. I mean, women's football, and football in general, I feel like people who are involved with football, for the most part, and a general rule of thumb, are good human beings. And a lot of these women worldwide, I mean, what a great thing to be a part of and to help out and to help develop this sport in a worldwide, on a world stage. And the kindness, I mean, there's just so much kindness with the women's game and with the people involved, and I hope that continues as the game does grow and we are getting more and more people with it. I hope people don't forget about those elements, because I think that, you know, when money starts getting involved, and it becomes more about that than about the feeling that you get when you, you know, step on the field and the feeling you get when you're helping a teammate out. I hope that's not lost. Like, sometimes it feels like that's the case with the NFL. I'm not saying that it is all the time that way, but I just hope that women's football keeps that integrity, and I think it will. I think we'll make sure that that's something that we keep in the forefront of what we do.
Yeah, and the next step will be IFAB backing that up, which they've already done with the World Championship. So in conjunction with, you know, USA Football, which is huge worldwide, so it's only going to go up. And obviously with Sam, like you said, with her vision and focus, it's in good hands. Before we let you go, Sammy, I know you made a lot of time for us today, and we really appreciate it, you know, coming on the show with us. But before we let you go, can you let everyone know where they can find you? Obviously, your music. I know it's. I mentioned earlier they can get it on pretty much any application, including Amazon. But
yep.
let everybody know where they can interact with you, maybe on social media, on Twitter, maybe Facebook or Instagram as an example to follow your next journey within the 2015 year.
Well, the best way to follow me is to go to my website. I mean, that's where all of my stuff is on there, and it's updated pretty much daily. So sammygrisafi.com, S-A-M-I-G-R-I, safe, like safe home, .com. And so you can check out stuff there. Be looking out for the brand new fairy tale release, the chapter one of brand new fairy tale on Valentine's Day. We're really excited about that. Like I said, we're working with some really great people and companies, Glamtime Media, and with Ink Factory. And so check all that stuff out and be a part of, be a part of something that I think will grow and be maybe make people think and do some good things. And it's more than music, you know. And now with the music industry the way it is, the audience, I mean, you guys are really what keep music alive. And so keep doing that. Because I think it's important. I think others agree, and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, and thanks to everybody for listening. And just keep doing good things for women's football.
Thank you, Sammy. I really appreciate it. Are you in Cali now on the West Coast most often, or are you still Midwest Cali?
I am. I'm pretty much based both in Chicago and Los Angeles. So I'm from California. That's where I am now. I'm out visiting family. Actually, I just picked up my dad from the airport, so he says hi. So I'm back and forth between Chicago and Los Angeles, and frankly, I'll probably be doing a lot more traveling coming up with some other things that we have in the works. But you can check all that out on my website. And thanks again for having me, and thanks for all your questions and your support. I'm grateful, and I will continue to be a part of the women's football community even if I'm not playing, even though I'm not playing. I'm happy to be a part of it.
All right, Sammy, thank you again. Safe travels. Tell your dad thank you for helping us out, making the time today. And then we will keep tabs with you in the future. And as your albums come on, you're welcome to come on and showcase those and tell us about it as well. And just give us a ring, and we'll put you on and set up a time and date like we did today. So I appreciate it. Safe travels, and enjoy your stay in both L.A. and Chicago.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night, and enjoy the Golden Globes if you're watching that. Place bets on that.
Thanks, Sammy. Have a great one. Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sammy.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. So there you guys have it. Sammy Grisafi, the Tom Brady, what I like to call it, the Tom Brady of the WFA, because she's an amazing athlete, but she's very, very keen, very focused. Like she said before, when Nkechi asked her, she lost two national championships. She never gave up. She went back and fought, and the two losses were against a very competitive foe. So you got to equate it to, like, you know, what Tom has faced against the Ravens and against Denver. So they weren't easy, you know, losses. In other words, you know, she didn't get beat badly. It's just she got beat by the better squad on that day, better play. So You guys, what did you guys think? Eric, let's go around the table. What do you think of Ms. Crisafi at this point after the interview?
Well, actually, more so earlier today as I was doing a little homework, I feel like I can kind of relate to her on several levels because I've obviously, you know, on the football level, but also I'll say kind of my master plan when I was in school, so to speak, was to have a professional football career and then parlay that into some sort of entertainment career. I thought it might be singing. I was in, you know, a couple of different singing groups. Didn't pan out, obviously, but I can definitely relate to her on that level as well. And you know, since then I've gotten into acting and modeling, so hopefully, you know, things can, you know, take off in that direction as well. But yeah, I'm very impressed, and you know, I could, like I said, I can relate to her on many levels.
Yeah, and she's very strong-willed. She's very focused, and so she's had her, you know, she's had her ups and downs as well. But she always, you know, stands up and gets back up and goes forward. So, and Kishi, any thoughts on Sammy Grassoffi's interview for today?
I am just as impressed with her in person after having had the opportunity to speak with her as I was, you know, like Eric said, doing the research. I know we didn't talk about it, but I also have to give her kudos for the work that she has done for young people. And, you know, she touched on that a little bit about how she wants to make sure that she has the opportunity to touch lives. And I think she has certainly done that in terms of some of the work that she's done with youth and youth projects, especially to help disadvantaged youth, you know, from all aspects and spectrum, you know, not just financially disadvantaged, you know, but any child who's being bullied, tortured, you know, the fact that she really wants to make a difference is just beyond commendable. And I think that she has been and will continue to be a fabulous ambassador for female football.
Yeah, and you can tell from her voice and you can tell from her demeanor, you know, she is a leader. And like she
Absolutely.
Said, you know, from her upbringing, from a standpoint of high school all the way up to, you know, the process of adulthood, you can tell right there she's a fighter, she's a leader. And I think that's where everybody can relate to her because she's true to the cause, as they say. Erica, any thoughts on Sammy?
Yeah, you know, I was just really impressed with her and really thankful to be able to talk to her and just, you know, she's very secure in who she is and very open about who she is, which I love. I, you know, was reading a little bit about her. I didn't get a chance to ask her a question, but about, you know, that, you know, she's openly gay, which I just love that she doesn't hide that who she is, because that's hard to be open about that. Even now, as, you know, open-minded as society says they are, there's still, you know, that's still a hot-button issue, if you will, and some people take issue with it. And, you know, she doesn't seem to care, and she recorded a song as for support of the Trevor Project, which prevents suicide among lesbian and gay individuals, which I just think is so amazing that she is, like Kishi said about, she's trying to help youth. She's trying to, you know, she knows how these kids feel, I imagine, in some capacity, and, you know, she's just being herself, and she's successful, and she's trying to help people, and I just, it's so commendable, and it's just amazing. I was just really impressed with her.
I hope we get to have her back on and we get to talk to her some more.
Yeah, we can get her back on. She just had a tight schedule right now, and so that's why I talked to her off air, and like I said, you know, welcome her back as soon as she releases her first album in February. We can try to hook her up in spring or summer and before her next album shows up. But, you know, I will tell you on the lesbian side of things, as you want to, you know, you want to call it, or the gay side of things, she's a big supporter. But at the same time, it's not just about that. It's really about helping people within that structure as well. And I think that's where her leadership is there. And she's willing to be open about it because that's who she is. She's true to that. And I think once you get to realize that she is that true to it, she believes in what she's doing and she's focused on it. And I think that's where the commendable part comes to it. And if she was on an NFL salary like Tony Romo, imagine what she could do with that passion and excitement. So just, you know, just lacking a little bit of funding here, but she's obviously doing it without it, and so that's even more impressive than when you just have, you know, an open checkbook to do things. Sometimes you overlook that. You just pay off somebody and go, but you never oversee the project. So I think her music career is going to take off. I was listening to a couple songs, and they're really deep. Some of the songs are deep, and that's where you can relate. And, you know, Keishi brought it up before when she was talking to her about how you can relate at different levels of your age process. And I'm pretty sure that the music will hit home with, like, you know, with the youth, will hit home with the older crowd, and obviously with any age group. And I think that's a commendable thing to her. And she doesn't want to be tied down, as she mentioned earlier, with the music thing. She wants to be just maybe wants to be distributed, which I think to her, she doesn't want to be committed to anything that's going to force her to change. And I think that's the bottom line. She doesn't want to change, you know.
But it's also smart as a business move, because it allows her the freedom to decide and determine who she is. So many artists who are signed to labels have to become an image or a caricature of what the industry says, this is what hip-hop is, this is what country is, this is what some genre is, as opposed to the artist having the flexibility and freedom to say, no, this is who I am, and this is the music that I want to make. And I absolutely love that she has that independence to make sure that her music is not just a sound, but it actually has a voice. And I love the universality of her music.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been involved with the game, like I said, on a short-term level since 2009, when I've launched the site and the Facebook page. In 2009 is when the WFA really kicked off, and then you have, like I said, the huge experience to be playing in an NFL stadium level in a national championship broadcast on ESPN3 of all places. And I know ESPN3 is not huge or anything, but for a women's game, that is huge. It is like it is huge. And so to be a part of it, obviously with the San Diego Surge that we've spoken to before in the past, to be a part of it, these ladies were more than honored. And it was not a sold-out stadium, but, you know, there was over 30,000 fans there. So for women's football, that's a huge accomplishment. So and we talked about the Women's World Games coming in January, just briefly about her. And so, you know, over 20 countries with at least 2 or 4 players in equivalent are going to be in Florida for the event that's going to take place over a couple of days. So, things are moving into a process where once it gets to another level, just like the senior men or the junior men in the USA football realm, I think, it's going to be so relevant that people are going to it'll be just natural. Okay, we have football for men and women. And it's not going to be any more question, of that sense.
Well, I think it's really interesting that the women's game has taken off internationally faster than the men's.
Yeah, and you know what the reason for that is? I think she pointed it out. It's more of a bonding sense on a woman's side than it is on a man's side. I think that's really the difference. Women, once they come together for a common goal, are a lot more bonded, a lot more committed. And I think that's a plus. On the men's side, you're usually guided. I can tell you from experience, from talking to a couple of the girls, in the women's game, amazing, intelligent women. There's just intelligence there. They understand multitasking. They understand schemes. They can relate to that. And I think it's just a female instinct on that end. It's not a gender thing. It's just mentally strong and at the same time able to dissect something and then multitask it. And I think as my mom would say, I was born to do more than one thing, and that's what I do. So I guess, she can't be wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, women are good at multitasking, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's a plus in football, right? So you're not going to close your eyes like Tony Romo and throw a ball. Most girls are going to have their eyes open.
Okay.
You know what?
There you go.
Today.
That was my Romo moment.
That was crazy.
I like the guy. I like the guy, okay? So, and Keishi, on that note, let's go into the divisional round results of this Sunday. And
let's
I'll give you the platform.
Let's start with the Ravens and the Patriots. I need a little more time.
Yeah. I tweeted her. I said, are you ready to do a rant? She's like, I don't know this yet.
No,
but I think
I
you're right.
Can do it. No, I actually can do it. And believe it or not, it's not a rant. Because unlike other fans, I am not going to, despite the call, that's the way I think this is going to go down in Cowboys history as the call. And I think that
the reversal.
Yeah, I like that one too, the reversal. You know, last week we had the no call. This week we have the reversal. No, but I think that this, despite the fact that I clearly disagree with the call, and I know that I'm not the only one, you know, I think that for wide receivers overall, I think that this brings up a lot of ambiguity. Well, what constitutes a football play then? I have possession of the ball. I have control of the ball. I've taken three steps, clearly taken three steps, stayed inbound. In the process, I tripped and I fell. And in the and once I fell, then the ball popped out. But am I not down? Plus, his legs are on me. So, therefore, I'm also technically down by contact. So, he technically has me down and the ball has come loose. So, what then does this mean for other wide receivers in terms of how refs are going to start calling the game? I also heard, you know, the many talks that this also happened to, I think, Calvin Johnson. You know, so I think from that point of view, there's going to be a lot of review about what actually constitutes, you know, football movement and play and control. That said,
oh, she dropped
you
off.
You there?
Hello?
Okay, not a problem.
She dropped off.
I think she was just so hot-headed, so fury.
She hit the end button.
Did the phone burn off?
Right.
Did the phone burn off?
I know a lot of people disagreed with the call, but the fact is, according to the rule, they called it right. I mean, the rule is there. I mean, if they don't want those kind of calls, they need to get rid of that particular rule. They call it, you know, oh, there's Kishi. Completing the process.
Hey, Kishi?
Yeah.
Are you back? We thought the phone burned off.
Yeah, I'm here. No, I'm here. Sorry, I lost reception for a second. But I will say, despite the call, that the Cowboys had several other opportunities where we could have put this game away. So I refuse to say our game hinged on one call. Was it a 50% factor? Yes. But the other part is, there, you know what? You got to play four quarters. You have to play four quarters. Tony Romo getting sacked two times in a row, not good football. Missing the field goal, not good football. You know, those are points that we lost. DeMarco Murray turning the ball over when we were almost in the red zone. You know, those are huge contributing factors to why the team lost the game. Those were missed opportunities that we had to put points on the board that would have put us further ahead. That said, I think that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers played a great game. Our defense was a little bit tired because they were constantly on the field with those long drives. And I think that Jordy Nelson and Julius Peppers and the other wide receiver's name literally just went right out of my head just that fast. They played excellent football. And there were several times when Aaron Rodgers had the ball too long. There was no reason he should not have been sacked. The defense did not get to him on several opportunities. So we had chances and opportunities to, quote-unquote, finish the fight. But you know what? I'm still going to finish and hold my head up this season as a proud member of Cowboys Nation, and I will rep my star, and I will, you know, hold my head up, right? And everybody can stop talking about Tony Romo now and you know, and all that Mr. He's Not Clutch, Mr. December, all that noise. So, you know what, there's next season, and let's see what they can do to further continue on what was built this weekend.
And I will have to say that the opportunities, like you're mentioning, the opportunities were there. They just missed some opportunities. And the game was close, so it just came down. If you're going to go the Raiders mentality when they played New England on the tuck rule, And you're in the wrong. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You go back to the tuck rule. Oh, it's the tuck rule. That's the thing that caused me the game. No, it didn't. You just didn't play right. good enough to win it. So reality is reality. Mm-hmm. The rule is by the rule. I think the rule is a good. It was a good call by the rule.
Right.
You know, emotions get in the way, and we as fans turn around and go, "What the hell? Change the rule!" Yeah, you
right.
can't change the
rule. And that's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do that because
yeah.
I think that I'm a fan, yes, but I also have to be a professional first, and I have
sure.
to know where to put on my professional hat. And as a sports professional, you know, I can't blame it all on the rule. What I often think happens, unfortunately, is that when these types of calls are made, they just happen to be at such critical times. I think that's
sure.
the problem that people have from the emotional point of view, is that if this was a call that had happened in the first quarter, nobody probably would have cared. But when it happens in the last 5 minutes on a fourth down play, yeah, now we care. And I think that that's
so
the other part
now
of it.
Now the microscope is, you know, like to your point, at the beginning of the game, there's really no microscope. But when it gets to the crunch of the game, now we have the microscope on the ref's call. It's like, the ref,
mm-hmm.
what? What are you doing? He's causing us
mm-hmm.
the game. So now it's
mm-hmm.
different. So let's move on. Cowboys get, you know, they go back to, obviously, you know, the great season overall. I mean, you got to give them hats off. They make the playoffs. Romo pretty impressive all season, somewhat, you know, and all pretty steady. And then he gets into the playoffs. So, you know, he's bounced his first time out of the playoffs. It's kind of customary for a quarterback to get bounced unless you're wonderful or something. But overall, he's made his stride. All of us Romo haters, if you want to call it, can pretty much just zip ourselves now.
Yeah, but this is the
playoffs,
second time. That's what people also forget.
And he even came as close to beating Aaron Rodgers. So you got to give
him.
I know he has to do with Romo.
Well, that's
what
people tend to forget.
So we got to give him props.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. And again, congratulations
yeah.
to Green Bay. They played a great game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
and
all you
so
can say.
In on that footnote, did we have the Denver Indy result?
Indy won.
Yes, Indy won
24-13.
Wow.
And I believe, if I'm correct, last week this guy said there's a lucky
yes.
chance that this luck guy can go all the way. And
yeah,
down
all the way
one,
means me.
Brady to come. Brady to come. Watch out, Erica.
Mm-mm.
Brady to come.
Mm-mm. I saw the way he played today. If they play that way against my Cats, they're going down.
So on that note, let's go into Ravens Pats since you're kind of heated already.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of close. It was a kind of close game, but I thought of it as a very competitive game, and you called it last week. You said it was going to be no different. They're no strangers, and that's really what it boiled down to.
So I watched it just by myself because I don't want to scare people. There was a lot of pacing and jumping, and it was a good game. You know, coming back from 2 14-point deficits, first team to ever do that in the postseason, I do want to add that. Tom Brady passes Joe Montana multiple heart attack moments for sure. Passes Joe Montana for touchdowns in the postseason. You know, bottom line is the Patriots defense didn't, their run defense was awful. It was truly terrible. They didn't get enough pressure on Flacco, and they need to work on that. You cannot go in playing Andrew Luck and not get pressure on him. They didn't seal the edges like they should have. That was just borderline insanity. I was screaming at the TV. They allowed over 400 yards, and that's unacceptable. Their defense needs to, really get really cinch up and play, you know, better defense. Another aspect was that Tom Brady threw the ball 50 times. You can't put that much pressure on the quarterback. Their run game was non-existent, and they need to be a more balanced team. Yes, they came out with the win, but in order to be successful and move forward to the Super Bowl and try to win the Super Bowl, we need a more balanced team. You can't have Brady, you know, throwing it 50 times and you know, he got sacked and he was had a lot of pressure on. The offensive line needs to get better, too. I was pretty disappointed with a lot of their performances. We did have one of our we did have our center go out of the game with a knee injury, and so they had to shift, you know, the line around. But the offensive line was pretty frustrating. If Nate Solder misses one more block, I am going to drive to Boston myself and punch him in the face, because Nate Solder's side is weak every single time, that moron. So, you know what? You're a first-round pick. Start playing like you're a first-round pick. So, that was kind of, you know, we came out with a win. I could breathe easy last night after the game. So, all in all, it was a success.
Well, and then Erica,
I'm not laughing at Erica. Oh, my God. I was like, really, I had to put you for a second. I was laughing so hard. Erica, I love you. You rock.
So,
Eric, on the footnote, on our footnote, our season has been over for a long, long time. So let's take the losers end of it and go ahead and dissect Denver Indy from your perspective.
Well, I thought as far as passing wise, it was a pretty sloppy game. I mean, there was a lot of missed opportunities. Both quarterbacks were, I think, somewhere around 50%, which normally, both of them were, lights out. Luck played the kind of game I was kind of expecting him to play. I expected him to turn the ball over a couple of times, actually. He didn't do that, but other than that, it was pretty close to what I was expecting. Overall, I thought it was kind of a sloppy game for a playoff game.
Now, Eric, I know I was watching some portions of it. Denver didn't look like somebody that was coming into a playoff game. I don't know if you got that vibe. The Colts, it seemed like both sides were flat for some reason. I don't know. It might be just the traveling or whatever key piece. But, Andrew, I just thought the Colts coming into this game were just a lot better from last week's game. I knew they were going to be up for that against Peyton Manning, of course.
Right. That's kind of the point I was trying to make. It almost seemed more like a preseason game versus AFC divisional playoff game.
That's what I was trying to get at, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
played by either team.
Right, and actually I tweeted out, I was like, might as well say congrats to the Patriots for going to the Super Bowl now, because based on that game, neither one of them would beat the Patriots, especially at home.
All right, so my prediction is not going to come through at this point. Is that what you're saying?
I can't see. I mean, what are the Patriots at home? They're like, what, 2,056-2?
The percentages are not in the lucky guy's favor. Yeah, that's true.
No, he's going to need a lot of luck to win next weekend.
Yeah. And Kishi, on that note, let's go to Seattle. Russell Wilson, I thought the Panthers, as I had mentioned last week, were going to go toe-to-toe. They played in a very good game for three quarters, and then they even held Lynch to a couple yards. They were walling him up. They were doing really good, containing Wilson. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter opens up, and they just gave up or something. Because then they started
to. Remember, I think the score was 17-10, and then all
right.
of a sudden, then all of a sudden, I don't remember the play off the top of my head right now, but all of a sudden, I think it was Lynch had this incredible, crazy run, and then they get a touchdown, and then they were right back in it, though. They literally were right back in it, and then Cam threw the INT. And Cam Chancellor picked him off, and was it like a 96-yard run? And that is when I think the tire just became deflated, on the Panther bus. I mean, that was the moment I think that all the hope, air, anything was sucked right out of Cam Newton. But you have to say, right, they actually were really in that game up until the third quarter. And I think that those two plays – were what, you know, deflated the team. And I don't think,
even though they were able to still get a touchdown. Yeah, Eric, what's your thoughts at this point from that game? I mean, they played pretty good solid ball for almost, I would say, three solid quarters, and then they just, I don't know, they just, they did themselves
Something
in.
Something happened in the fourth.
Yeah, the basically the Legion of Boom just, they just started to gel. You know, it's kind of been that way the past few weeks, you know, since they got a few key guys back on defense. And I found out they had a team, a players-only meeting a few weeks back where basically they just, you know, tried to figure out how they can get their mojo back. And it all just came together, you know, in that third quarter. I mean, you could just see it building and building and building. Cam Newton was still, he was still throwing darts. He still had, you know, that courage to stand in there in the pocket. He was still throwing darts. It's just that he made a couple mistakes that really cost him. But yeah, I think it was just going to be Seattle's night ultimately.
Hey, Erica, was it nice to see Newton finally into a playoff mentality? I mean, they did play admirably for three quarters. So, you know, in that sense, I guess it's a positive going forward to the next season, given the fact that they finished, you know, 7-8 in a division that was horrible.
7-8-1. Yeah, 7-8-1. Yeah, they, you know, they stuck with the Seahawks a lot longer than, you know, than I thought they would. You know, the Seahawks, you know, by on paper, the Seahawks should have decimated the Panthers. You know, Panthers 7-8-1, they come in, they're traveling, they're in, you know, they're at the Seattle Stadium, and, you know, you were kind of like, it was going to be interesting to watch. And the Panthers really had a lot of grit. They stuck in there, you know, and they played them tough for three quarters, you know, and I think that despite their record, despite losing, you know, the Panthers and their fans can really hold their heads up high, take this success into next season and build on it, because they did a lot better than anybody thought they could in Seattle.
Eric, since you're the football guy, I'm going to ask you, was that the best game out of all the games in terms of excitement and competitiveness?
Well, I thought more so the Ravens game was, to me, the type of game that I enjoy seeing, because it was not only was it close, it was physical. I mean, guys were flying around. It wasn't a whole lot of finesse to it. It was just, you know, I'm going to give you my best shot. You give me your best shot, and we'll see who lasts. So to me, that was the consummate, you know, NFL playoff game.
Now, I would say Dallas, the Green Bay for me now, more so than yesterday. So, Nkeshi, what was your best game? If you had to take away the Cowboy-Green Bay game, the other three games, what would have been one of the three games or the other games?
I would have to say, I'd have to agree with Eric and say Baltimore Pats, because, again, the physicality of the game. I actually like strong defensive games. I don't like big blowout offensive games with the high-flying scores. Sure, they're fun to look at, but I want to see some tough-hitting, hard-hitting, you know, bone-crunching, back down. I want to see defense, and I really like teams that can match each other back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and I don't like big blowout games. I like it to come down, you know, to crunch time, and I think that was a better hard-fought game between, and maybe because it was also two quote-unquote bitter rivals. The Cowboys and the Packers don't have the type of rivalry that the Ravens and the Patriots have, so therefore that game emotionally meant more, and because of the fact that the Ravens are one of the few teams that are actually able to win in Foxborough, I think that also is critical to why that game was much more enjoyable as a playoff game.
So, Erica, if you take your game off of it, what would be the other three games that you thought were somewhat competitive or interesting?
I think the Dallas-Green Bay game for sure. It was very, you know, it reminded me of the Baltimore-Patriots game where it was very back and forth, very one team coming out strong and the other one ending up with the win. So I would say Dallas-Green Bay, it was – you know, obviously not having a stake in the game, it was a fun game to watch. I know I got a lot of tweets and texts, and they were like, oh, that was such a good game. I loved watching it. And I'm like, yeah, I need, you know, medication and vodka now. But for me, the Dallas Green Bay game was like I could be an impartial observer and be like, oh, yeah, that's a good game, you know. So definitely, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, you're just going to have to share.
I thought they were somewhat competitive. I think you had two games that were really somewhat competitive, and then you had two games that were really kind of like, not too competitive. But I had Carolina, hats off to them for making a tremendous effort against, obviously, a top-notch team like Seattle. So, you know what? We're almost out of time, if I'm keeping track, which
we
had to keep track of the road or whatever. Five minutes, you know, I'm out in California, like Sammy says, lost. No, I'm a
can we throw out our picks for the college game tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We got to get that in. I'm going to take the Oregon Ducks, because if I don't, Nicole Brown will probably just murder me. So I'm taking
and
the Ducks.
I'm going to take Ohio State Buckeyes because I did go to the University of Akron for grad school. So half of my classmates, as well as my former boss, who I love with all my heart, Karen Smith-Hupp, is picked for you. I'm going with the Buckeyes.
Awesome.
Oh, and my daughter's godmother.
Hey, Eric.
Well, barring anything crazy or anything super controversial happening, I'm saying Oregon is probably going to just be too much for him in the end.
And we know Erica's going to take Oregon because otherwise she'll get killed like I get killed by Nicole. So.
Wait a minute. Can I do it?
Wait a minute. So I'm obviously taking Oregon, mostly because I love Oregon and I love Mariota and all the rest. But I do have to say, Nicole was gearing against my Pats yesterday, she was totally rooting for the Ravens. So it would serve her right if I took Ohio State, but I'm not because I hate Urban Meyer with the fire of a thousand suns. So I am taking Oregon in this game. But can I go on a mini rant? Would that be okay?
Yeah, go to the mini rant because we only have a couple minutes left, so do it.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, John Harbaugh, you can take your accusations against the Patriots and shove them where the sun don't shine. If your defense can't read when someone's eligible and ineligible, then you better go back to the X's and O's because that ain't our fault, you moron. Okay, so that was one. The other one is, okay, Buffalo Bills, you have the choice out of how many people are on the planet. 4 billion people on the planet, and you hire Rex Ryan as your head coach? I mean, I want to know what kind of Kool-Aid they're drinking. I mean, at what point did you look at the Jets and go, oh, man, I want to model my team after them? They're so wonderful. Look what Rex Ryan did. He's a quarterback whisperer. The guy's a freaking genius. At what point did somebody look at that? And I mean, 5 years, over $20 million? Really? Really, Buffalo? I mean, I want to know who's making the decisions over there because I'm thinking they're on crack. Rant over. There you go.
Awesome. And see, we finally make it. So next week, you know, I thought I was going to get an Kishi rant, so we'll kind of delay that. It's going
to
be at some point, maybe next season.
I will give you
next
one
season,
before the
next
Super Bowl.
Next season we'll get you one. We had a great time today, Sammy Grisafi. Continued success to her and having a great time making the time for us as well with her busy schedule. So an amazing woman, amazing football player overall, and a 2-time gold medalist to add to that. So, I want to thank the listeners for listening to our show. Our show is growing, and thank you to all our co-hosts for supplying that energy to make it grow. Well, you know what? I don't have to say anything else, but next week it's for all the marbles. You go to the big game, and I'm going to tell you right now, the Colts don't have a prayer, and Seattle, you're back in the game as far as I'm concerned. So that's going to sign off for us. And catch us next week as we take a look at the LFL with Pete Richmeyer And we also have a special guest from Canada. So I'm not going to mention it, but for Nkechi Free, Eric Brown, Oscar Lopez, and Erica Lynn, catch you here next week to talk championship football one step closer to the Super Bowl. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, guys.